found in Matthew 16, verses 21 through 23. Let us stand at the reading of God's holy word. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But he, Jesus, turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." These were thy words, Heavenly Father, sanctify us in the truth. Thy word is eternally true. Amen. You may be seated. We find many things going on in the world today. Some of them we say are good, some of them aren't bad. Remember, as a Christian, one who has Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you say, "I am looking forward, and I have my eyes straight looking up to my salvation, to the salvation which only comes through Jesus Christ and what he done on the cross for me." I went out, I tried to find it quickly on my phone. I couldn't do it, but we received a letter from the ministers of Northwest Minnesota and all the others from the AFLC, received from Tom Brock. He's a minister for us, and he sent a letter written to the pastors of the ELCA churches in the United States. In July, in Phoenix, there's going to be a great conference for the ELCA pastors. I'm not going to condemn them. They can do what they are saying they're going to do. They have one of the most liberal preachers, Jamie Brunhoff, I think that's the way you pronounce it. She is from the LGBT community, will be speaking to those pastors. They have other ministers, and she's got her son that's 10 years old. He claims to be a transgender. He claims to be a girl. And 2 years ago, he spoke to 31,000 youth in Louisiana, trying to change them and make them understand transgenderism is the thing of today. God says, "My law does not change. I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." God's law will be no different than it was when he created the heavens and the earth. God gave us in Genesis chapter 3 the first inkling or first time that he told us he would send us a Savior into the world, and that Savior would save us from our sin. This conference has the workings and the caucuses. They want to meet and have many different workshops of showing how to get the media to back gay and lesbian, transgenderism, and all of these things. And he says, that's the way the world is going, and that's how we have to take and make all these people who are against it understand we are okay and right. God says, "I am the same yesterday, today, and forever." God says, "My law does not change." He says, "I am the Lord thy God, and you shall have no other gods before me." under no circumstances, none whatsoever, can you ever replace me with another God. Because if you do, you are committing idolatry. You are worshiping something you shouldn't. You have not come to the cross of Calvary. You have not come to the cross where Jesus shed his blood and it ran down and forgave us of our sins. When he was buried, rose again, and showed he had the power over sin, over Satan, and over death. We see and we say, as it tells us in Peter, that people will say, it's the same way it's always been. But God says, things are changing, ever so slowly, maybe, and maybe not so slowly. We are to not look at the things going on around us. As Christians, we're in the world, but we're not of the world. We have to remember that when we look back, even at the days of when Eve was deceived and she ate of that fruit, Adam willingly did it and willingly sinned. Maybe Adam says, I wanted to please my wife. God says a woman would be want to be in subjection to her husband. But that doesn't mean he is a totalitarian ruler. Doesn't mean that he treats her like property. He treats her as he would treat himself. He loves her like he would love himself. He loves her like Christ loves the church, like Christ loved you. And God loved you, so he sent Christ into the world to die for your sins and for mine. As we see this, and we see these things coming about, we see also that God is pulling back some of his carefulness, if you want to call it that, and he's letting nature maybe take its own course. Maybe that's not the way to say it. We see more storms. We see more earthquakes. The earth has a curse on it, and it says the earth is convulsing or has labor pains because it wants to be free from the curse that was put on it way back there in the Garden of Eden. And we say, what was that curse? God says, I will curse the ground that you have to till because it will bring you thorns and thistles. We don't look at that all the time, do we? But we see throughout the world, man is trying to answer the problem man's way. They aren't looking to God in many different areas. In India, for example, if you claim to be a Christian, you can get up to 10 years in jail. Because you are a Christian, you are not a Hindu or a Buddha. Therefore, you are disrupting the flow of the thoughts and the life of that day. Because you are telling people there's something out there much more important than what we see. It's salvation. It's Jesus Christ who died on the cross of Calvary, who gave himself freely. And he had to say to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Satan was using Peter when we read that scripture. Get behind me, Satan. When Jesus was tempted, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. And yet, how many times do we do that? And we find that we let Satan maybe rule our lives without us realizing it sometimes. I have met people and I have discussed some things with them and they'll say, I know this is the right way. And I'll ask them, is it scriptural? Is this what scripture says? Well, no, but I know this is the right way. Have you contacted God? Have you prayed about it? And many of them will say, well, no, not really, but I know this is the right way. You see, God says man will take and try and do things his own way. And when man tries to do it his own way, he's going to goof up. Because God says our plans are nothing compared to his plans. And he says, I will use you and I will work through you as a Christian, and you should be able to show those you are coming in contact with the love of my Son, Jesus Christ. That he loved the world so much, he was willing to come down from heaven, from his glory in heaven, before the foundation of the world, and he was willing to walk 3 years on this earth and take the abuse and take the insults and take the beatings that we deserved. And he did it so he could die on that cross of Calvary and shed his blood, that as we come to the cross and we find that he died for our sins because he loved us so much. God so loved, are we willing to love? And many times we find the answer, no. As I think many times about the coffee shop in Alaska, when that started, they didn't know if it would work. But they wanted it for a way and to reach out to the people that came in. And so they offered them free cookies and coffee. And they have had people that have accepted the Lord. They've had people that come in and take tracts or Bibles. And they'll take them back to their boat. We don't know what happens. God knows. God says, my ways are not your ways. And the way the people I touch, you might not know. We look, and Dwight Moody says, I would like to live to see the people that accepted Christ under my preaching. But he died. And many people that have heard his sermons has died after him. Many of them accepted the Lord. How many people will be in heaven that you don't know about because of the way you live and the life you touched them with by showing them the love of Jesus Christ in your life and reaching out to them? And you know, it puts us in a very, very precarious position sometimes, doesn't it? It makes us remember what Peter said. They think it's strange that you don't run with them in these parties and the things you're used to do in the world. And people say, look at all the fun you're missing. And you say, you know, I now have Christ as my personal Lord, and I see something much better than what earth can give me. I see salvation, and I see glory and honor, and I see that I can worship my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in peace and in harmony, because he is my Lord and my Savior, and I give my heart to him. I ask him to forgive me of my sins, and I ask him to help me to show his love to those round about me. And yet we have a tendency to complain and a tendency to be very negative about things in the world. We can look at the world, and Jesus says, remember, you're in the world, but you're not of the world. You're not part of this. Pray for these people and live in such a way that they see something in you that they wish they had. And when they wish they had it, true, they're going to take and maybe abuse you, make fun of you and talk nasty about you, and they might even beat you. We find that God is at work today, and he's at work even amongst the Christians. How do we live for Jesus? We say, I get up in the morning, I have my coffee, and I do what I've always done. I try to be happy. I try to do what I can. I'll go visit people, and I'll try and give them encouragement. And yet, many times, when we're visiting them, they may be negative, and instead of trying to encourage them and lift them out of their way of despondency, we step into their world and we talk about all the things that's troubling them and how terrible it really is. And it might be physically we will suffer because our bodies are physical, but spiritually our bodies should be growing in Christ. Our bodies should be living for the Lord. And our bodies should be living in such a way that people would see Christ in us. You know, when Noah built the ark, he was 500 years old. Can you imagine that? A man 500 years old. John, if you were 500 and somebody you started building an ark, what did people say? You're goofy, right? You know. And so, can you imagine? For 120 years, Noah is saying, hey, God's going to destroy this earth. And these people are helping him, and they're saying, boy, man, you've lost it. And then it takes him 120 years to build that ark. Now all these animals come. Noah didn't go out and get them. They came. Two pair of the good ones, one pair of the bad ones. If you want to look at it the way I would look at it, the mice and the rats, there was one each. One male, one female. The cows or calves, one male, two male and two female. They're good. They go into the ark. Eight people go in that ark. Eight. God shuts the door. They didn't shut it. God shuts the door. I can see for 1 week those people are banging on that ark and saying, hey, old man, you've really lost it this time. Suddenly, it starts to rain. They'd never seen rain. The deep opens up. The water comes up. And it says that the world was flooded and the highest peak was covered with 18 cubits of water, or about 25, 30 feet. You couldn't live. 6 months later, they go out of the ark and start a new life, eight people. But God was at the center of Noah and Noah's family. Yet, as the people spread out, they spread out and looked to themselves. We see that so very plainly. When Jesus was tempted, Satan says, if you're so hungry, make these stones bread. Jesus says, it is written, you shall live by the word of God, not what you want, but by the word of God. And by the word of God, what does he want you to do? Are we living then by that word? Are we asking God, lead us, help me to put somebody on my heart that you want me to visit today. Help me to be happy when I don't feel happy. My physical body is feeling sad and down, but Lord, help me to be happy because you have saved my soul. Can we do that? And this is living for Christ, having Jesus first in all that we think, say, or do. God says, I will be with you, and I will keep you. Yes, we will have persecution, and we will have trials and temptations, But Jesus says, remember, I came and I died for you. Heavenly Father, be with us as we go forward, that you would not only be with us, but help us to serve you all the days of our life, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us sing 78, The Old Rugged Cross.